Gedanken sind frei, wer kann sie erraten? Sie fliegen vorbei wie nächtlichen Schatten. Kein Mensch kann sie wissen, kein Jäger erschießen mit Pulver und Blei. Die Gedanken sind frei. Ich denke, was ich will und was mich beglückt. Doch alles in der Stille und wie es sich geht. Mein Wunsch und Begehren kann niemand mir wehren. Es bleibt dabei, die Gedanken sind frei.
To Republic Broadcasting Network. I told Sam I feel like I have scuba gear on and I can't swim. So I got the earphones. Miss Destiny Cross, who did Digga Dawkins and Fry, sounds extra special. And see, I'm trying to do a couple things here. Yeah, and just picture your voice here. You can hear Michael Herzog's ad for how to do what I'm doing, and it's fun. And last week, I misspoke, as I often do, and said that Adolf Hitler died of natural causes at age 62. It was in 1962. He was age 73. And I also had the three things that didn't happen. I'm sure there's many more. And I talked about Herbert the Pervert Bush, who was going to be dictator, but the plane or whatever's supposed to happen to the Capitol building full of Congress critters, chock full of Congress critters, didn't take place, so that they didn't get to do. And then I talked about Helene, a hurricane that they didn't get to do, which was shot into the North Atlantic. But the thing in the middle that's kind of pertinent now was in 2014, April 10th, the USS Donald Cook entered the Black Sea. And it was to be the major lead vessel for what was going to be an invasion. You know, since when does NATO belong in the Black Sea anyway? But April 12th, a Russian plane flew over them with a basket underneath that apparently had something like a Keshi plasma tech underneath that disabled all the electronics. Ship was dead in the water. And they had to tow it to Romania, and it was very, very demoralizing. 27 of the sailors quit. And so that kind of didn't happen. It kept us out of where we might be even in worse straits now. in that field. But the, you know, May 14th of 2014, Vice President then Joe Biden gave a speech about the Ukraine. And that's exactly 66 years to the day since Israel Hell had taken over Palestine in 1948. And the exact same day, May 14th, 1948, RAND Corporation was hatched or started. So, you know, there's just so many things going on that distract us and keep us in fear. And that's their main thing to do. And, you know, that's the opposite of what we need to be doing. You know, Jesus says first, be not deceived. And he says many times, fear not. And so do the other writers in the Bible. Because it's crippling. We cripple ourselves by not being able to get out of the reptilian part of the brain, the bargain basement, moldy basement part of the brain, where we're either fight or flight or freeze. And we've seen where they do all kind of experiments on animals to bring this out in them. And also, I wanted to tell you, I have a chat room, yours truly, Mer, that's yours truly, mer.chatango.com. And if you can find the backslash on your keyboard, I'd like you to enter that and a lowercase o to give me a nice wave, a nice Roman salute. And I'll be posting things in there. If I don't get to them now, I'll get to them later. Oh, good. Oh, good, good. All right. Well, we have a very special guest I asked to call in. His name is Harvey Weisong. Harvey, can you come on?
Yeah, well, I'm right here.
Great.
How are we doing?
Good, good. I knew you could talk a lot, so I wanted you to come on and help me fill up the show. And I know it's your 80th birthday.
Oh, yeah, word got around, did it?
Yeah, we tricked you. But I'd like you, if you don't mind, if you would tell us a little bit about yourself, as much as you want to.
I'd rather not tell people about me, but...
or your experiences, you know, I mean, this man is an uncle to 15 nieces and nephews, and what is it, 47 now, grandnephews and nieces?
Yeah, actually, it's that's just one brother that has the 15... I've got three others. Let's say 15, 16, 17. What's no, no, let's say 19 nieces and nephews, but I've got about 52 or three great nieces and nephews.
Wow. Be fruitful and multiply.
Yeah. Well, that's what the instructions were, replenish the earth. And so they are blessed with wonderful kids. And you ought to see, boy, you ought to see the Thanksgiving and the Christmas events at my brother's house, my older brother's house. It's just, you know, to anyone outside, it's just a madhouse. But to the kids, everything's orderly. You know, or within the family, everybody is orderly. So
everybody has a drawer to pull out and sleep in, right?
Yeah.
That must be great at holiday time.
With all the 15. There really wasn't a lot of money to go around, and those so they slept two or three to a bed at times, you know, when they were small enough. It was really funny. It was funny, but it was a wonderful life for them, and they're very, very, very close family, and everybody was raised in the faith, so they all have a common language, you know, a common belief system.
Spiritual foundation, huh?
Yeah, and when the kids get together, they don't fight. They don't. It's peaceful. It really is. The kids just, Charlie and Brenda have 3 acres in Chattanooga. And they just, you know, kids just go out the back door and they run and they play and they ride on tractor or anything that's got a motor in it. And they run. They've got a trampoline. And nobody sits around, you know, the adults are not nervous about what's going to happen. You know, oh, the poor children, are they in danger? No, they don't worry about that. It's just, they are very faithful people. They trust in God and they don't worry. And never vaccinated any of their children. And they don't, they don't go to doctors. So I guess that qualifies them as, you know, in the eyes of the world, that qualifies them as weirdos. But
well, the eyes of the world are Nazis. In other words, they're blinded.
That's right. Oh, they really are. But there was a funny thing that happened to me years ago. One of my nephews. Now let me change from these earbuds over to the regular speaker. Just talk on the phone.
Sorry to take you by surprise like this, but I know you can handle it. You know,
yeah.
there's so much to your life.
I'll do my best to handle it. but I went to a reunion of the battalion I served with in Vietnam, and we were sitting around talking. The colonel threw a little orange party at his house, and I was talking to some of the men from Delta Company. That was not my company, but we're shooting the breeze. And I said, "Yeah, I was just down here with Colonel and Ms. Donnelly a couple of months ago. My nephew graduated from boot camp, and so I came down for that. Seems like I'm getting to be a frequent guest here." And they're sitting there nodding like bobbleheads. And then I realized, wait a minute, I got an opportunity here for a joke. And so I said, "Yeah, John graduated from boot camp a couple months ago, and well, he really enjoyed it." And they said, "What? Come on, Lieutenant, nobody enjoys boot camp." I said, "No, John did. John liked it." And they said, "That's crazy." And I said, "Well, no, he really did. And the truth is, he did enjoy it. He thought it was fun." And I said, "Well, I guess what he liked about it so much was the privacy." And one of them said, "Oh, come on, Lieutenant. You shower with 40 men." And I said, "Yeah, I know. But see, he's from a family of 15 children. And this was the first time in his life he ever had a bed to himself." I had fun with him. But anyhow, so after I got kicked out of a couple of colleges, I graduated from a third and went in the Marine Corps and went over to Vietnam and served as an infantry officer of 1st Battalion, 9th Marines. And I was right around I would say the worst part of the war. We had, in my battalion, we had, I can't remember the exact number. I've got it in my computer, all the names and dates and such, but we had about 340 men killed while I was with the battalion. And we had the reputation as the hard luck battalion. There's no luck involved, really. It's just, you know, when you had when you had good leadership, you had low casualties. When you had poor leadership, you had high casualty rates. And, of course, they put us in the field with M16 rifles that didn't work. And that was a little bit of a handicap against an enemy that had rifles that worked all the time. So that gave me a sort of bad attitude from the day I hit the field. And I've still got it. I learned a couple of things. One is never, ever, ever trust government. And it's not just our government, but any government. They all lie, and they all lie all the time about
so
everything.
So true. So true.
I don't know what it is, but corrupt people gravitate to government. And whether it's government employment or elective office, or you know, it's a cesspool, and it's the same here. You know, I'm in Georgia, and you know, there's state governments just as corrupt as the federal government. And said, well, we need to get a lot of Republicans. Well, we got Republicans here. And they're cheats. They're crooks. There's just something about government that attracts and cultivates unsavory people. That's the nicest term for it, I think.
Well, the name itself means control mind, right? Government.
The mint is really not mine. It's, I hate to pull rank on you, but M-E-N-T is a French suffix that means an entity. So instrument, so it doesn't have anything to do with the mind. Mentis is the mind, but that's, well, mens is the nominative case, means mind, but just because the letters line up doesn't mean what you might think. I just offended someone a couple of months ago about this. He was saying something on, I think it was on Roger's program, and he came out with an explanation of a word, and it was misleading, and people are going to rely on that because they respect this guy's word. And so we had a little exchange of emails over it, and
could you tell us that word and what it really means? Could you tell us about that word? I know govern means control, but as far as the rest of it, but this word that you're talking about, if you remember, it doesn't matter, but.
No, I don't remember right now. I'd have to look in my email to see what it was, but I hear it all the time.
But the desktop is what gets remembered, right?
That's right. But there are a lot of people on their side of the fence that know that we're dealing with wicked people all the time, and so with little or no evidence, they'll conclude that such a thing is true, you know, that this word means such or came from this source. Well, the source is really pretty easy to find. You've got several good etymological sources, even though the dictionaries have gone politically correct, their etymologists are still good people.
Oh, hold on, we have a break. Hold on, Harvey, we'll be right back.
All right.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We're back with Harvey Weissong on his 80th birthday, and we want to have some more from him. Thank you, Harvey.
Thank you, Murr. Well, you did ask me at the beginning, you know, what have I done in life? And, you know, sort of, that's the question. When I got out of the Marine Corps, I realized I didn't want to be in any hierarchical structure, and I wanted to just work for myself. I started a moving business, a household goods moving business. And that went along well for a couple of years, and I got tired of dealing with amateurs all the time and having to explain the same thing over and over and over and hearing people whine at me. And so I sold that and just converted over to local freight, which we call cartage. Just moving freight around the city of Atlanta. So it started and stopped within a certain radius of Atlanta. And that went along okay. And then we had the Nixon Watergate scandal, and we had Gerald Ford come in, and we had a recession. And foolishly, I decided to participate in the recession. I was just gravely unhappy in the middle of a divorce and everything else, and I just closed the doors on the trucking company and went back to school. And I went into, you know, two or three years later, I went into manufacturing with my family, and I had a good run there. I enjoyed that a good bit, and then off again, other things. One of the political issues that caught my fancy early on was the fully informed jury movement, and that I liked an awful lot. We had a good run with that. What people?
Yeah, that FIJA.org, FIJA.org.
Yeah.
Continue. Thank you.
Yeah. So the essence of it, when you get, I mean, there are loads and loads. You know, I've got pages of quotes on the jury issue, the trial jury in particular, not the grand jury. And the best quotes, the best guidance of all, and I used to use this in debates with lawyers, and oh, they're so arrogant, and they hate to be slammed, get body slammed by somebody that doesn't have any letters behind his name. But
no piled high and deep, huh?
Yeah, no, I don't have one. The best quotes came from Justice Byron White at the Supreme Court. He was John Kennedy's only appointment to the Supreme Court. And he was also the only All-American football player ever to sit on the Supreme Court. But he was quite a man. He had an acute intellect and an alert conscience. And he wrote the majority, overwhelming majority decision in a case called Duncan v. Louisiana in 1968. And what he said, and this was a case, it was a civil rights case, but Louisiana systematically excluded black Americans from sitting on the jury. Whether it was clever or whether it was just, I think it was pretty brazen. It just couldn't stand. And one of the things that White wrote in his opinion was, the purpose of the jury is to protect the defendant against oppression by the government. And you stop and think, yes, that's why we have juries. They're put there to make certain that a citizen, and we won't get into the citizenship issue, but the poor lone individual cannot be punished except by the consent of his peers. Well, we don't have royalty over here, so everyone is in the same peer group. So it goes back to 1215 and there goes my brain, proving that I'm 80 years old.
Gather your thoughts. We'll be right back. A few minutes.
Smarter.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Listen, news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Supposed to, you know, be working here. So, Harvey, whatever you want, we want to hear it.
Okay, well, what I was referring to is the Great Charter, Magna Carta, in 1215. And, you know, it promised a jury of their peers. And so that was handed down to us. And that was just... That was a major component in the common law tradition of England, which we brought across the water to the United States, to the colonies. Understanding that the purpose of the jury is to prevent oppression by the government, and that was, as I recall, that was the exact wording of the opinion, to prevent oppression by the government. Then you begin to understand what the proper role of the jury is. If the oppression has been visited upon the individual by virtue of the legislature, Well, that would be an unjust law. And the jury has the right to say, not guilty. Sorry, we're not convicting under that law. And if the agent for oppression is the judiciary, and the jury witnesses unjust behavior on the part of the court, they have the simple right to just say, not guilty. And if the agency of oppression is the executive branch in the form of the prosecution, the U.S. attorney or the state attorney, well, then the jury has the right to just say, not guilty. And that is a wonderful system. And I had an awful lot of fun. That's how Roger Sales and I met each other. I was being interviewed on the radio and gave my phone number, and Roger called me, and we've been friends ever since. And so that was fine. I was the national spokesman for the Fully Informed Jury Association for a year and a half or so. And then I drifted away from them because the problem was people didn't understand what was just and unjust. You know, we had a jury out in Los Angeles when the Rodney King riots were ongoing, and some fellow was dragged out of his truck and beaten with a concrete block, and they said that the concrete block was not a lethal weapon, that he was, and you know, this is nuts. The guy was damaged for life. He survived the experience only because of trained medical personnel intervening on his behalf to save his life. And so I realized that we didn't have a society that understood right and wrong anymore. And if you look in Hebrews, fifth chapter of Hebrews, and right there at the end, we'll just say, for, you know, Paul's talking about who ought to be ought to be exercising our judgment. He says, well, I'll just start here on verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Well, Amen. The question my brother began asking, he was very active in the pro-life movement, very active. And he said, well, how do you discern both good and evil? The only way to discern good and evil is through the Word of God. And where is it set forth? Well, it's set forth in the Ten Commandments. That's that. If you listen to these modern-day kumbaya preachers, oh, that doesn't apply to us. We're all saved by grace. I tell you, with an attitude like that, I don't think they're going to be saved at all. You've got to understand God's will. You've got to have a heart for following God's will. And he says very clearly in the Scriptures what displeases him and what pleases him. And the Ten Commandments is a real good place to start reading. Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, I think, is where we have them. Mm-hmm. And yet, I just had this conversation with my brother and some others at lunch this afternoon. He was calculating how many people in the United States actually know the Ten Commandments, can just sit, you know, say, hey, do you know the Ten Commandments? And yes, they can sit down and give you the essence of them, not word for word, not in any particular order, but you know, here's the subject matter of the commandment. And he used to speak at hundreds of churches, and he would ask them, these are so-called Bible-believing churches, he would ask them to take a pencil and paper and write down the Ten Commandments. Don't have to be word for word, they don't have to be in order, just anything that identifies the subject matter. Fewer than 1% in so-called Bible-believing churches could name the Ten Commandments. And that included pastors, deacons, elders. One pastor, after Charlie taught Sunday school in his church, the pastor in his sermon wept over the fact that he could not sit down and write the Ten Commandments. And he realized how negligent he had been in his own education and how he had belittled God's word. So what I realized with the jury movement was that we didn't have a real sense of right and wrong in this society, and that teaching pagans to just disregard whatever law they wanted was a bad idea.
Well, Harvey, you remember Arkansas, the courthouse a few years back, right? They rolled out the big old Baphomet, right? We have two children looking up at this monster goat god, but they wanted the Ten Commandments taken down, you know? And I've had some thorough discussions with some people about that, and they think that the Ten Commandments should be done away with. You have to live them and read them and teach them to your child, not have a child look at this monster.
Yeah, well, they are going to be done away with if you make it to heaven. You won't have to worry about them anymore.
Well, we'll be living them. I mean, it's just
that's right.
It's just God's way. You know, we'll be singing His praises all the time.
but when you look at what's going on now, and I'm trying to wrap up a book that deals with all this, but everything we deal with is religious. You know, that's
or
the
spiritual
basis.
Or spiritual. I mean, religion is kind of man-made for control, you know, but God's law is in our hearts, you know, our bodies are the churches. Could I get you to go back at some point and just talk about you and Roger in the seven floor building and the Fiji? That was hilarious.
What, closing down the courthouse?
Yeah.
Oh, that was funny. Yeah, we went down there. Actually, on the first time we did it at the federal, we did this at the state courthouse. And Roger was there with me, and we had a pretty good number of people. This was in Atlanta at the county, Fulton County courthouse, and we passed out literature outside the courthouse, telling people what the purpose and authority of the jury is. You know, the lawyers and the courts will tell you that the purpose of the jury is to determine the facts. Well, that's nonsense. And that was rejected all the way back in England in, I think it was 1695, when William Penn of Pennsylvania fame was being tried for preaching an unauthorized sermon. He was a Quaker, and the government troops closed his church, and so he just preached outside on the streets in violation of this law called the Conventicle Act. A conventicle is just a gathering, and so. It was established in that trial and the trial of the jurors who let him go that the jury has the right to judge facts and the law. And until the facts are established by the jury, which everyone acknowledges is the exclusive purview of the juries, establishing facts, then no conclusion at law can be drawn. So,
they've changed that, though, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. Now, they're lying. And these lawyers that are manufactured on these law school assembly lines, they don't have a clue. They don't. I remember I was debating two lawyers down in Pensacola one time, and I said, well, look, I said, let's do this. I said, why don't you guys tell me what's the purpose of the jury? And they sat there and they mumbled to themselves for a little bit, and one of them volunteered, well, it's to establish the facts of the case. And I said, okay. And what do you say? And so the other guy said, well, that's right. It's to establish the facts of the case. And I said, well, you know, that's, both of you did real well. If you're trying to pass an exam in law school, but if you're standing before the Supreme Court of the United States, you both just failed. Because the Supreme Court said in this case, Wilson and Duncan v. Louisiana and Taylor v. Louisiana, that the purpose of the jury is to prevent oppression by the government. And you can't do that if you can't negate the law. You can't protect them from illegitimate legislative action if you can't decide the law. Anyhow, that was kind of fun. But anyhow, Roger and I passed out literature there along with several friends of ours, and then we did it out in Cobb County, which is to the northwest of Atlanta, and had a good day out there. That was funny because one of the sheriff's deputies saw what we were handing out, and he rushed in to this judge who was just a wonderful woman, Melanie, can't remember her last name, but she was just terrific, and said, Judge, look what they're passing out outside. And she looked at it, and she said, yeah. He said, what do you want me to do about it? She said, no, nothing at all. We're supposed to have free speech, and if you can't speak freely on the courthouse steps, where on earth can you speak? That was just one of the great questions. Well, we moved down to the federal courthouse in center of Atlanta, and they tried to chase us off with the guards, and there were just three of us that first day. Rick Trites and another fellow whose name I don't remember, and I, and it upset the court and the courthouse so badly, they were walking around with our literature in their hands, that the chief judge of the court, name was Kelly, William Kelly, or O'Kelly, and he was one of these high-handed, dictatorial judges who had a real high opinion of himself. And so he realized that the jury pool had been contaminated, he said, by this literature. And so he dismissed all the jurors. There were no more trials that week. And he rescheduled a couple of trials that we thought were important. One was about a hydroponics company that sold equipment that could be used for growing marijuana. Well, Home Depot sold the same thing. Yeah, the horror of it. But Home Depot and Lowe's and neighborhood hardware stores were selling grow lights just like this company was. But anyhow, so we showed up again, and Roger was there on that one. And boy, did we have that parking lot covered, and all the entrances to the courthouse where all the jurors had to go in, all the lawyers had to. It was a riot, but they pushed on through and intimidated the jurors enough to get a conviction. But we had a lot of cases where we saved people from a decade in club fed. And they were the most egregious prosecutors. executions you can imagine. It's just like, remember that Ruby Ridge case?
Yeah.
They baited the guy into modifying a shotgun. Well, the same thing happened to one of the fellows in North Georgia. And a friend of his called me, and I said, I can't come up, but I can send you the literature. Do you have some friends that'll pass it out at the courthouse? And he said, yes. So they did, and the guy walked free. But this goes on all the time. They manufacture victims for the justice machine, and you know, you got to have something for the prison guards to do. So let's go make some criminals. We'll manufacture criminals. We'll pass laws that nobody can.
Yeah, they move them around from state to state, so their relatives and friends can't get to see them.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, it's. There was a writer. A humorist, more like Will Rogers, but he was before Will Rogers. His name was Finley Peter Dunn, Irish, and he had a character called Mr. Dooley. And Mr. Dooley and his friends would enter into conversations in this newspaper column that Mr. Dunn wrote, and one of them was question where someone asked him, said, they say justice is blind, Mr. Dooley. Do you think that it is? And Mr. Dooley says, blind she is, and deaf and dumb, and has a wooden leg. If you've ever watched the so-called justice system, that's exactly correct. Justice is a cripple.
Yeah,
and
the judges will keep the jurors from knowing evidence. You know, it's just so corrupt.
Well, there is a remedy for this. This is what we need. You go to Deuteronomy 15. I mean, sorry, Deuteronomy. Yeah, 19, verses 15 through 19. And it says that anyone who bears false witness against his neighbor will be brought before the judges, and if he's discovered, he'd have to be accused of it. But it would be if it was proved that he lied against his neighbor, you know, was the Eighth Commandment says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Well, if you've done that, then the sentence under biblical law was that you would get whatever sentence it was you thought to have visited upon your neighbor. And boy, couldn't we clean things up. Can you imagine if a cop did something let's say he just out and out murders someone, and his partner lied for him to cover it up. Well, under that law, if we put that in the statutory law, they'd both go to prison for whatever the penalty is for murder. If the prosecutor knew about it, he'd go to prison. If the judge knew about it, he'd go to prison. Anyone who participates in deceiving the judges, the jury, would go to prison. Anyone covering up the facts, well, concealing exculpatory evidence is one of the greatest mechanisms for unjust prosecution, and they ought to go to prison for whatever term the defendant was subject to, and if it be death, then death it is.
I think that's, you know, I think we need to go consult the Bible to see just what justice ought to be. And that that eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, well, that was a limitation on what you could exact for an offense. You couldn't go murder somebody because he put out your eye. You could have his eye plucked out. If he'd chopped off your arm wrongly, then bingo, he could lose his arm, but you couldn't lose both arms. You couldn't chop off his legs. You couldn't do other things. You couldn't mutilate him other ways. So there's an awful lot that we now are too smart to list, well, you know, too many instances in Scripture where we're just so smart, we're smarter than God, and we're going to ignore his law.
Smart is an ouch. We're running up on the hour already. You know, I need a couple more hours with you.
Well,
but you were going to write a book, you say? Could you tell us about that before we're through here?
Very, very briefly, it starts with some four people, two of whom were a Marine Scout sniper team in Afghanistan. They're talking about the direction that government is going. And the elder of the crowd, who is to be the father-in-law of one of the scout snipers, who are best of friends, he starts asking them questions about government. And do they think it'll be reformed? And that they were about as pessimistic about the future of government reform. You know, we had a little organization here called the Judicial Reform Institute, and we had a motto that we put in Latin, and it was non se jugulabit porcus, a hog won't butcher itself. And that's, reform always comes from outside. So they've been very patient from 2010. Now we've got to wrap it up here in 2023. And we'll see what they do. But they had a lot of money.
Oh, thank you, Harvey. Thank you so much, birthday boy, for coming on with me. This has been great. I'd like to hear some more sometime.
I feel disjointed, but I enjoyed talking to you all the time.
Well, so, I sort of ambushed you, so.
Well, that's okay. I'm happy. I'm happy.
I've heard it been said that if you ask Harvey why song the time of day, he'll tell you how to build a watch.
Yes, I will.
Thank you again. Thank you, Sam. Okay. Thank you, listeners. This has been great.
You bet. Thank you, Myrrh.
Noch
alles in der Still und wie es sich geht. Mein Wunsch und Begehren kann niemand mir wehren. Es bleibt dabei, die Gedanken sind frei.
I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.